Before we call on Brother Matt to bring us the introductory talk, he's asked us to read a few verses out of Micah 4. So Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Micah 4, verses 1 through 7. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge many among peoples, and he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Neither nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all the people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I'll make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast off, that was cast far off, a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. Call on our brother Matt Jackson to bring us the introductory address, and its title is Let Us Go Up. Brother Matt.
Well, thank you, Brother Lee, and good afternoon, everyone. As was announced, I'm Brother Matt Jackson, here with my wife, Sister Samantha, and our three girls, Amelia, Claire, and Renee. We're from the Livonia Ecclesia in Michigan, and many of you we know, and those of you we don't, we look forward to hopefully getting to know you this week. Now, wasn't that just a beautiful reading that we had from Micah chapter 4 there, verses 1 through 7? What we hope to do today, in the few minutes that we have, is to take some time to calibrate and align our expectations for our week together. Between the remarks that were made this morning at the memorial service and what's been communicated in the prayers and in the exhortation, indeed, we've been given a wonderful opportunity to come together, to separate from our normal routine and to focus on God, his plan and purpose, on our relationships with each other. And so what we'd like to do this afternoon is just spend a few minutes taking a look at three questions. The first is, why are we here? The second is, what is the purpose of Bible school? And then what are our goals for the week? So before we jump into that, though, we'd like to just make a few introductory comments. And they relate specifically to the passage that we just had read from Micah chapter 4 in verses 1 through 7. Of course, the title for this afternoon's introductory address came from Micah chapter 4. These same verses are actually repeated in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 3 as well. And in these verses, we have a vision of the kingdom age laid out before us, a time when the nations will have been subdued by Christ and the saints. Jesus will now be reigning as the monarch over this entire world. And the saints will be working alongside him, ruling over the various communities that they've been put over. And so in conjunction with this, there will be a center of worship, which we know will be in the city of Jerusalem on top of Mount Zion. The temple will be established there, and the nations, as we read, will go year by year up to Jerusalem. They will be led by the saints. The saints will take the communities that they're responsible for and take them up to the city of Jerusalem, up to the Mount Zion, to receive instruction, to worship, to pray, and to fellowship. And this is what this passage talks about. It says, in the latter days, this will take place, and the peoples shall flow to the mountain of the Lord. And what will happen there? Well, they will learn. They will be taught of his ways and how to walk in his paths. And what we have here is a picture of a millennial Bible school, if you will. Now, of course, we long for that day to come. And until it arrives, we can have perhaps but a shadow of it. And that is what we're going to have this week here at Midwest Bible School. Because just like the saints will take their communities up to the mountain of the Lord, so too we've been taken away from our homes. And we weren't brought here by saints, but we were brought here safely by our angels who are responsible for us. And we may not be able to climb a literal mountain this week, but we can ascend to great spiritual heights. And while here, just like in the future time, we will be taught, we will worship, we will pray, and we will fellowship with one another. Just as the same as what will happen in the kingdom. This is, brothers and sisters, our annual pilgrimage to the Lord, to have a feast to him. And it's for our whole family. And in fact, both the Millennial Bible School and this Bible school this week are modeled very closely after what was laid out in the Law of Moses. And in the Law of Moses, there were three annual feasts that were observed in Israel: the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And what's interesting, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, as we have on the slide here, in verses 10 through 13, we're told who was supposed to be participating and what the purpose was. So we read in Deuteronomy chapter 31 at verse 10, Moses commanded them, saying, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women, the children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land which ye go over Jordan to possess it. So it's for the whole family, as we see highlighted in yellow: men, women, children, and stranger. And indeed, we have the same composition amongst us here this week. And for what purpose? Well, as is highlighted in the green, to hear, to learn, to fear God, and to do all the words of this book. And so we have time this week to break away from the monotony of life and to refocus on what really matters. And this week, we hope, by God's blessing, that it will be indeed a shadow of better things to come. So we'd like to spend just a few minutes contemplating this question of why are you here this week? And so this is actually an exercise that I'm going to ask for your participation in. So if you could, please find something to write on and something to write with. And we're going to take 3 minutes. And I'd like you to each personally reflect on this question of why are you here this week? And you may have an answer or you may have multiple answers. And that's okay. Just jot down what comes to mind as you contemplate this question of why are you here this week? So we'll just take 3 minutes to do that. All right. Hopefully that wasn't too painful. So how did we do? Well, you may have some of these reasons on your list, and I'm sure you have others. Perhaps you're here to hear the classes that are going to be given by our brethren, David and Jason. Maybe you're here because of your children and the friends and relationships that they have, or to reconnect with friends, or to visit with your family who maybe live all over the country or in different countries. Perhaps you're here to eat the food. I'd kind of forgotten how great the food is. It's been 5 years since we were here, and if you don't hold back, you definitely go home with a few extra pounds on by the end of the week. Perhaps you're here to enjoy the teen activities or to sing in the choir, to teach a class. Maybe you have a responsibility that you're here to fulfill, to play sports or participate in the tournaments, to attend the sister's tea, and I suppose I should have put up here the brother's tea as well. Or maybe you're here to find a girlfriend or a boyfriend. These are perhaps a few of the possible reasons for why some of us are here. Please hang on to your answers because we're going to revisit these towards the end of the class. So that then brings us to our second question. What is the purpose of Bible school? Well, when you think about it, we, like the children of Israel from days of old, are traveling through the parched wilderness of life. And we've come upon an oasis here at Midwest Bible School. And here we can drink from the living water of the word and be refreshed. In Psalm 19, beginning at verse 7, we read the following about the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So what are we being told here? Well, God's word is a source that is perfect. It's sure, it's right, it's pure, it's clean, it's true, and it's righteous. It's the cleanest, most pure, best tasting water that exists. Believe me, I don't know if any of you have ever had to struggle with getting a good water source. About 2.5, 3 years ago, we moved into a new home, and for the first time, we were no longer on city water. Our water was being pumped out of the ground, and it didn't pass its water quality test initially. And it was very challenging to get that water to be of an acceptable quality so that we could actually use it to cook and drink. We don't have to worry about that with the word of God. God's word is the cleanest, best tasting water that exists. And it's able to convert the soul or revive or refresh, as the RSV, ESV, and NIV translate. It's able to bring back, to restore, revive, repair, and refresh us. It can give us new strength, which is the idea behind reviving the soul or refreshing the soul. It makes us wise. It says, making wise the simple. It brings joy, rejoicing the heart. It lights the way for us. It's our light for the path before us. It's eternal, and it tells us what to do and gives us warnings, and it also promises a great reward. And this week, we have an opportunity to be washed, cleansed, and rejuvenated by the intake of God's word. Now, in order to take in God's word, we have to make sure that our desire, our attitude, and our response are all in alignment. So our desire is expressed in Psalm 25, verses 4 through 5, where we want to be shown, taught, and led by the word of God. Psalm 25, beginning at verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. This is our desire, is it not, this week, to be refreshed by the transformative power of the word of God. But we have to have the right attitude. And our attitude is one that needs to be of meekness and humility. Continuing in Psalm 25 at verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. You see, attitude is everything. We have to receive God's word with meekness, with a spirit of humility. And so our response then is one that requires us to submit to God's message, to acknowledge that God's way is right, and we have to swallow our pride. We have to recognize that God needs to be listened to and obeyed and submit to the instruction of his word. You know, this week we have a couple brethren here who will be speaking and sharing their studies from the word of God. They don't know all of our ecclesial issues or our family issues or even our personal issues. They're from other areas. Now, they may know some of you because you're family. For that, you'll have to deal with that. But they're going to be expounding God's word to the best of their ability to us. And so let's not take it personally if something cuts a little close to home. We have to, as the Apostle Paul says, receive it not as the word of men, but as it is the word of God. We have to relax our necks and soften our hearts. In James chapter 1, verse 21, the apostle gives us instruction when he says to put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And so we have a wonderful opportunity to be refreshed by the word of God. And so let us digest the studies, meditate on them, and take them to heart. Now, this week, we want to elevate our thinking, ascend to those great spiritual heights. And we've come apart to a separate place, just like Israel of old did with the feast, to be refreshed. And here we can remember God's purpose, which is to develop his character in each of us and reconnect with him. You know, we're not the first to do this. There are many individuals in the Bible who separated themselves in order to refocus and realign their lives. To name a few, Abraham taken out of Ur, Moses into the wilderness, Israel being taken out of Egypt, Elijah off to Mount Horeb, Jesus in the wilderness, and Paul after he was converted in Arabia. These were removed from their everyday environment in order to focus on God. And so in this positive spiritual environment, we too can focus our thoughts on God's purpose, our calling, and walk. We have an opportunity this week to step out of the meat grinder of daily life, to be removed from the hustle and bustle of everyday activity, to step out of the rat race of corporate America, to disconnect from work, to not worry about keeping the home, to pause the daily chores, and to deviate from our normal daily routine. So let's seize this opportunity. It's a wonderful opportunity. And if we are to ascend to great spiritual heights, then we need to leave the things of the world behind. And to maximize this potential, we need to clear our minds of the fleshly and temporal distractions that we've left behind at home. So let's challenge ourselves this week to turn down the volume of the world. No social media, no streaming of movies, videos, or shows. Let's not surf the internet this week. Let's not listen to worldly music. Let's try not to respond to the work emails that come in or answer the work calls. Let's turn off the pro sports for a week. Let's not do any e-commerce. Forget about the home improvement project. Forget about the bank balance or the investments. Forget about the next purchase. Let's turn down the volume of the world this week. And with the distractions of the world muted, we can then hear the still small voice of God better. And so this week, let's crank the volume on spiritual concepts, principles, teachings, activities, and conversations. Let's focus on the concepts that we have in the word cloud as that individual ascends that mountain. Let us set our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And with our minds primed to receive spiritual things, we can then work on strengthening our connection with God. We learn more about him. We better understand how he thinks, understand his mind, so we can develop that mind in us. We can deepen our appreciation for what he has done and continues to do for us. We can grow closer to God by aligning our thinking and our life with him. We can better understand his hand at work in our lives and increase our trust and faith in him. So let's endeavor this week to elevate our thinking, to elevate our mind. And so far, having discussed how Bible school offers the opportunity to be refreshed by the Word of God and to elevate our mind to spiritual things, another purpose that we can accomplish this week is to take time to reflect or give serious thought to our walk of discipleship. And so let's think about some things throughout the week. Maybe when we're out on a walk, or maybe between classes, or while we're listening to a class, or participating in an activity. Some questions to ponder throughout the week. Is the truth top priority? Is it not second place to the home, the career, the next purchase, the sport, or other leisure activity? Is God at the center of our lives? Is he at the center of our discussions, our decisions, thoughts, and activities? Do we have healthy relationships with others? Do we speak and think well of others? Have we been reconciled to those we've wronged or those who have offended us? Are we walking in the right direction, preparing, watching, and waiting for the kingdom? Or perhaps are we distracted a little bit by the passing pleasures of this age? Where are the blind spots in our lives? What skeletons from the old man remain in the closet? Where have we carved out a piece of our life that still feeds the cravings of the flesh? Where have the things of the world crept in? Where is the world in our home, our language, our dress, our activities, our friendships, our devices, our books, our magazines? Is anything taking the place of God? Is God second place to anything? Is anything preventing us when we're back home from praying, studying, reading, getting to ecclesial activities? What are we seeking? What is consuming our time? You know, if we take an inventory of where time is spent each day, it can be pretty eye-opening. Some things you have to do, and other things are voluntary. And what are we voluntarily choosing to spend time on? This is a really good barometer for identifying where our focus is. And really, when you think about time, it's the most precious non-renewable resource that we have. And so we have to use it very wisely. Is anything missing in our service? Service to God and the ecclesia? Service to our families? Service to our spouse, our children, or each other? And when we think about how we serve, are we doing it with a cheerful and willing attitude? And are we doing everything that we can for God, for each other? Because after all, God wants 100%. And so we have an opportunity this week to think deeply on the direction of our walk of discipleship and on the direction of our families, to consider our ways as we reflect on God and his place in our lives. Personally, our family has always found it extremely beneficial coming to Bible school, because with the distractions removed of everyday life, you can actually do this process. As you're listening to the talks and things resonate and resound with you, you start thinking about what we need to change. What are we doing well that we need to continue reinforcing? Or where do areas of improvement exist? So after reflection, we can then focus on renewal. You see, the output of this reflection activity of considering our ways will most certainly identify areas that could be improved. On this side of the kingdom, none of us are perfect. There's something that could be done better. Maybe we need to reprioritize activities or serve in new areas. Perhaps we could read the Bible more or begin a new study, start preaching, read a book, call or message an old friend, visit the lonely, send a card, or remove a worldly influence. So we will identify areas, and they'll be personal to each of you and your situations. And having identified those improvement areas, we need to renew or repair or renovate our thinking. And having renewed our thinking, we need to make changes that will realign our lives with God and his righteousness. It has to be out with the old and in with the new, because scripture shows us and instructs us that if we can transform our thinking to be like God, then godly thinking will lead to godly living. Ephesians chapter 4, just a few snippets from verses 23 and 24. After talking about putting off the old man, the Apostle Paul goes on to talk about being renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, Bible school is an excellent opportunity where we can build up the momentum to make changes, we can be reinvigorated and motivated to implement spiritual reformation in our lives, to make changes, to improve. As our late brother Bob Lloyd used to say, we can start glowing so that when we go home, we're glowing brightly, alive, and with lots of zeal for God and his purpose, and implementing that in our lives and our families. You know, many faithful men and women in Scripture reform their lives too. They reflected on their life, they renewed their thinking, and they reformed. They examined their walk, and they identified areas that needed improvement or realignment. And we can learn from their examples. And I'd like to just quickly go through a few examples here. Here we have a list of individuals in the Bible who reformed. They made changes in their lives. Some of these you might say, oh yeah, that makes sense. You know, Hezekiah, Josiah, you know, they did some huge reformation in the nation. Others made individual reform in their lives. Take Jacob, for example. He instructed his family to put away foreign gods in the family and to instead purify themselves and worship God. Take Rahab. She abandoned her former life of harlotry, and we know from Hebrews 11, was obviously a righteous individual and faithful because she shows up there and is declared faithful. Joshua commanded Israel to put away the idols, and then they made a covenant with the people to serve and obey God. Gideon destroyed the altar of Baal and wood an image in his father's house and built an altar to the Lord and sacrificed upon it. Perhaps you see a pattern emerging here. It's the same pattern that the Apostle Paul talks about in Ephesians 4. Get rid of the bad and bring in the good. Put off the old man, put on the new man, right? You can't just remove something and then do nothing and leave a vacuum because it'll come back to you even worse and bite you. We have to replace it with something positive and wholesome and godly. Samuel told the nation in 1 Samuel 7 to put away the foreign gods and to return to the Lord with all their heart and to serve him only. Asa removed the abominable idols from the land. He restored the altar of the Lord, and the nation made a covenant to seek God with all their heart and soul. Jehoshaphat removed the high places and wooden images and taught the people God's law. Hezekiah, in 2 Kings 18 and 2 Chronicles 29 through 31, began on the first day of the first month of the first year after being made king to do the following. He removed the high places and idols from the land. He restored true temple worship to God. He reinstituted Passover and Levite teaching and inspired the nation to reform. You know, when you think about it, the first day of the first month of the first year, we often talk about New Year's resolutions, right? On January 1st, talk about a New Year's resolution, right? And Hezekiah, we're told, had purposed in his heart to do these things. This wasn't just something that accidentally happened. He had made a plan to accomplish this. It was a conscious decision with deliberate actions that were taken in order to draw himself and the people of Israel closer to God. You see, he knew that without some form of a plan that was ready for implementation, that nothing would likely happen. And then we have Josiah, who at the young age of just 16 began to seek God. And then at 20 years of age, removed the high places and idols from the land. 6 years later, he continued purging the land and restored true worship. And then he made a covenant with the people to follow, keep, and do God's law. And I think what we see here in Josiah's example is that you're never too young to start implementing change in your life. And secondly, that you have to constantly be reassessing throughout your life. It's not a one and done, right? Which is why it's so important for us to come together to events like this, where we can recalibrate and realign our lives. And so what do we learn about implementing spiritual reformation from these examples that we just briefly went through? Well, all of them put God first. There was an acknowledgement that his ways are right and to be obeyed and followed. It started in the heart, and it couldn't be just motions. They prepared their heart to seek God. Then they got the world out permanently where possible, with no reason or excuse for it to creep back in. And with the world out, they then gave God 100%, served him with all their heart and served him only. There was a plan. The what had to be done? When was it going to be done? How was it going to be done? They didn't procrastinate. They were specific, like Hezekiah, we're going to do this on New Year's, make it happen. They involved others by working together with them, holding each other accountable, checking in, and seeing how each other are doing. And in many of those cases, we saw that a covenant had been made, an agreement was entered into, a commitment was made between the people and God to keep his commandments, to seek his help, and to tell him what you're doing. So these are a few of the things to keep in mind as we are motivated, hopefully this week, to renew our thinking and then to make changes to realign our lives with God. So that brings us to our third question, which is, what are your goals for the week? Now, we began this afternoon by spending a few minutes writing down reasons for why we're here at Bible school. And in addition to those reasons, we've explored opportunities, the opportunities that we have this week to be refreshed by the Word of God, to reflect on our walk of discipleship, and to renew our thinking. To renew our thinking and to commit to making changes that will realign our lives with God. Now, would you perhaps make any changes to the list of reasons that you originally generated for being at Bible school? Perhaps, perhaps not. But as we prepare to begin our time of study and fellowship together, it's helpful to take a few minutes to identify some goals for the week. Now, goals are helpful because they do a number of things for us. First and foremost, they identify what success looks like. It sets a target, something to achieve, something to strive for. And with that, then we work towards it. And by working towards a target, you obtain results. You get results. It gives you focus. Goals make you accountable because you're obligated to act on them. They motivate you and they help us to achieve our highest potential. They stretch us. And goals, if they're set properly, can help us this week to get the best out of the week. So what are our goals for the week? What goals could we have related to things like the classes, Bible marking, our phone, and its usage, friends, meals, unbaptized, or activities? And so just like we did at the beginning, we would like to take just 3 minutes, and I would ask that you take these 3 minutes to write down at least 3 goals that you'd like to have for this week. And by writing them down, by the way, research has shown that you're 30 to 40% more likely to actually accomplish that goal. So I've encouraged you to not just think through this exercise, but to actually think about and write down 3 goals for the week. Okay. So how did we do? Here's perhaps a few goals that you may have come up with. Perhaps there's a goal to attend all the classes, or maybe we set the bar a little lower, stay awake for all the classes, which could be a challenge, mind you. Based off my experience last night, it was very difficult to sleep. So it may get harder as the week goes on. Take class notes or Bible mark those notes directly into the Bible. Maybe you have a goal to take time to reflect, consider your ways. Maybe your goal is to turn down the volume of the world, figure out what that looks like for you personally. Maybe your goal is to get to know two new people here. Uncle Paul was telling me that there's 350 people approximately here this week. And I highly doubt we know everyone here. So maybe we set a goal to meet a few new folks. Or what about at mealtime, sitting with different people at the meals? Make that a goal on a few occasions. Or if you're unbaptized, put together a plan to get baptized. What's holding you back? Or maybe there's an activity that you'd like to participate in, something like singing in the choir. So whatever your goals are, let's do our best this week to achieve these in order to get the most out of the week. And so that really brings us then to the conclusion of our address this afternoon, where, as we stated at the outset, we've been brought together to a place of separation. This is a place of preparation and of learning. Here we can recharge our spiritual batteries. Some of us may be running on fumes. And here we can be refueled so that we're prepared for the journey ahead. So let's have a great time together. God has blessed us with a wonderful opportunity. And to loosely paraphrase what we began with in Micah chapter 4, come and let us go up. Let us raise our minds to the things of God. And let us learn of his ways and how to walk in his paths. For God willing, the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Midwest Bible School this week.